today on Real Radio.
But what we're reading is actually going to happen, and you're going to be in this group that's being described right here, right now. Is that amazing? Can you wrap your mind around that for a second? I'm reading about my future.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his topical series called You Need to Know, a collection of lessons on the essentials of our faith. We're in a multi-part series called You Need to Know, all about the future things. Certainly one book of the Bible for us to consult to gain a better understanding of the end times is Revelation. Now, after taking dictation by our Lord for letters to be sent to the seven churches listed in chapters 2 and 3, the Apostle John was, as the text reads, in the Spirit, and his recorded visions begin. In fact, our teacher takes us through all of the fourth chapter, which is the basis for this part of the series called You Need to Know, All About the Future Things. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Listen, before the rapture happens or before I drop dead, let me be the one to tell you. Jesus Christ came from heaven to earth, lived a perfect life, fulfilled the demands of God because he was God in human skin, died on the cross for our sins because we couldn't pay for them ourselves, rose again from the dead for our justification, and by faith in him alone, you will have forgiveness of sins and eternal life. That's it. That's the invitation. Come to him. Come to Christ. Jesus says, come to me. We'll see this in a moment. The invitation goes out. All around the world. I just saw online the other day a Muslim called into a program in the Middle East talking about the difference between the Quran and the Bible because he got a Bible and he was reading both of them side by side and he was arguing on this call-in program. It was in Arabic, but they put it in subtitles. And the guy wound up accepting Christ on the program. And the reason why is because he said the message that the Bible has is much more loving, much more forgiving, much more true. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. He's the one that saves. You can't save yourself. And that message goes out. Listen, I pray that you and I get caught giving that message out in life when the rapture happens. You say, well, I don't believe in the rapture. Well, okay, listen. If you're a Christian, wouldn't it be great to drop dead, get hit by a truck, or get raptured giving that message out to people? Absolutely. I do believe in the rapture, so it happens. I hope it happens. We're going to teach this message in like next 4 or 5 hours right now, hoping that it happens. I'm just kidding you. There's an invitation. Jesus said in Matthew 28, 18, and Jesus spoke to them, listen, and he said, remember, he's leaving them, and this is what he tells them. All authority has been given to me. That's a lot. In heaven and on earth. So with all that authority, yes, sir, reporting for duty, Jesus, what do you want us to do? If you have all authority, we understand that. What do you want us to do? Verse 19, first word, what is it?
Go.
Get out of here. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you, and lo, or behold, look, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. That's the marching orders for the church, for the Christian, every one of us. That's what we do. If we're a Christian today, we are to be going. Now listen, we've been brought up in a culture that it's much more comfortable for us to stay. But Jesus said, go. We should be saying, Lord, that now that I'm a Christian, where do you want me to go? Right? Didn't he say go?
Yes.
Now you say, Pastor, you're making me nervous now. Go. What do you mean go? And being in Southern California, it's hard to embrace this command to go. We live in paradise. Go. Really? Me? He says go. Wherever God's calling you, you're going to have a great heart for it, and you're going to want to go there. But listen, until he calls you somewhere else, I know this, wherever your little feet carries you every day of the week, at the office, out on the school, wherever, neighborhood, go. Jesus is saying go. Spread the invitation. Quick. Time's running out. Go. And whatever area of influence he's called us to go. Get the word out. Years ago, as this home Bible study started, we spoke from the beginning that God has either called us to, listen, in light of the fact that this is a non-spectator, or his church, God's church, is a non-spectator church. There are no spectators in Christianity. None. Can't find it anywhere in the Bible. That we are either senders or goers. Are we not? We're either senders or goers. If you're not going anywhere, then you are to be sending people to go. There's a team going to China to smuggle in Bibles. Send them. Send them. We all, in fact, listen, Wednesday night, I don't know if you know, I don't know if you attend Wednesday nights, but I don't know, they know this. Wednesday night, the offerings that come in from Wednesday night, 100% go out to the furtherance of the gospel through radio and the other media functions worldwide. That's Wednesday night. So listen, every Wednesday nighter is a sender. You say, well, so what? Well, this is what so what. They're going to, listen, they're going to stand someday before the Lord, and the Lord's going to say, hey, you know what? There's a woman from Ireland who accepted the Lord recently. How'd that happen? Listen in on the radio. How'd that happen? Well, you put your nickel in the offering on a Wednesday night, and that nickel, God added to it. And that nickel caused airwaves to land in Ireland. We're the senders or goers. Isn't that fun? Think of it. How adventurous do you feel? Oh, I'm adventurous. Be a goer. I mean, we have short-term mission trips. You can listen. It's amazing. Think of it. But the invitation goes out. The next thing is this. Regarding the momentary, imminent rapture of the church and the fact that we, until then, are to be giving out the invitation, inviting people to come to Christ, the Bible tells us clearly that there's an RSVP required. Now, I have to be honest with you. I've always assumed what RSVP meant. And have you ever looked it up? RSVP? Did you know it's French? I didn't know that. I don't do French, but it's French. And it means, basically, it means this. Reply if you please. Or we would say, please reply. So here's the amazing thing. Every one of us as believers, we are to be giving out the invitation for others to come to Christ. That's what we're supposed to do. No matter who you are, we're supposed to be doing this together. And listen, we don't drag people to church or heaven. By the way, we're not inviting people to come to church. I know that's, you know what I mean? It's okay to invite them. But what's your motive about inviting them to come to church? Let's be honest. Did you invite somebody here today? And you're like, don't tell them. Don't tell them. What's their motive for inviting someone to come to church? Yeah, that they go to heaven. So we're just going to stop by the church. Right? That's what we're doing. Are you here today? Did somebody invite you? Really, they just invited you to stop by. Why? Because they want you to go to heaven. That's the honest truth. We want you with us in heaven. Isn't that something? You may not want to be there, but we want you there. Go figure that one out. We're to invite them. But there's an RSVP requested of God. He says, I want a decision. You got to decide, yes or no, are you coming or not? We can't make them come. That would be easy. But we can't make them. God doesn't work like that. God gives you the choice to come or not, to accept Christ or not. You want to come to heaven or not? I love that, by the way. Isn't that just, I mean, I know it's normal human thinking, but that's from God. But anybody who would coerce you into a religion is insane. That is insane. Believe like we do now or else. No, Jesus says, you know what? You follow me or not, it's your choice. I love that kind of talk. But hey, just pick. Oh, and read the fine print though. You're responsible for your choices. Don't you appreciate that? Of course, unless you make the wrong decision. Then you want to blame somebody. God wants you to choose. And he wants you to respond. God has invited us as Christians to invite others. It's an amazing thing to think about. It's a wonderful thing to think about. Listen to this. Jesus says things like this. In Matthew 11, 28, Jesus said, come to me. The God of the Bible says, come to me. Is that attractive to you? The God of the Bible says in John 15, 15, I call you my friends. He invites, but a response must be given. Church, why am I saying this right now in light of you and I going to heaven? And the first thing that John saw when he saw heaven is because this is to be our marching orders. Listen, I mean this with all due respect. I'm not being mean about this when I say, what are you doing in this life? Are you an educator? Are you an engineer? Are you fill in the blank? You are those things. You are that thing for this reason. Are you ready? Because you're a Christian, God has hypothetically given you, right, this position of being a manager of thus and so, or a dad, or a whatever it is. What is it? To invite others to Christ. That's it. See, you and I get caught up in, no, I got to have a placard, and I got to have achievements, and I got to have a banner, and I got to have a this, and I got to have a that. Do you understand that's all going to melt? Do you understand it's all going to evaporate? It's nothing in the end. It's something now, but it's nothing in the end. The greatest thing of all, as a Christian now, all of a sudden, God has given you those opportunities of influence to touch others for Jesus Christ. Don't think first that you are this corporate wheeler and dealer before you're a Christian. No, you're a Christian, so in that world, you are to represent Jesus Christ. See, you are a goer after all, aren't you? This is the Christian life. The next thing is this. John's in heaven. We know from other portions of Scripture that those that are in heaven are dressed a certain way. There's a dress code in heaven. Do you know that? Jesus talks about this. And one of them is in Revelation chapter 19, verse 8, there's a scene in heaven. And the Bible says there that to her, that is the church, it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saint. This is an amazing statement. The righteous acts of the saint. She said, wait, what is this? Number one, mark this down, church. It's pretty cool. It's granted. The church seen in Revelation 19, that's us. This is amazing. We're looking at the Bible right now. What we're reading right now, we're here, obviously, reading it now in print. But what we're reading is actually going to happen, and you're going to be in this group that's being described right here, right now. Is that amazing? Can you wrap your mind around that for a second? I'm reading about my future. Tell me your future. I'll tell you my future. The Bible says that the church, the bride of Christ, is seen in heaven, and she's arrayed with fine linen, clean and bright. The word clean is crystal clear, pure, and bright is luminescent. Figure that one out. The church, made up of each individual Christian, we are glowing. Glowing in this radiance. And look, it explains to us, for us, how we got that way. It says, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. When you enter heaven, listen, church, be careful that you hear me correctly. You get to heaven by trusting in Jesus Christ alone. He died on the cross for your sins. Now that you're saved, listen, what happens after you're saved? Listen, you go to work for God. Wherever you go, whatever we do, we work for God. The decisions we make, the deals we do, the projects we're involved in, all of it has to do with representing God. People of integrity, people of the word, people of righteousness. Watch this. Everything you and I do adds to, listen, adds to the adornment of these righteous acts. You're saved by faith in Jesus, period. But now that you're saved, what do we do with it? We live a life, and that life is a life of doing the right thing. That's what the word righteousness means. We do the right thing. The church in heaven is seen having entered into glory with her righteous acts adorning her life. Your life, my life. Works for God, matter. They don't save you. But because you're saved, they have a profound future significance. Look, forgive me in advance because I don't know what I'm talking about, but I guess you can go to a bridal place, right? And you can order, I guess, different types of dresses, I'm assuming, right? I think the basic model, right? Is there basic models? Okay. And then there's, you know, well, what kind of upgrade? How can I upgrade that? Does it come with a turbocharge? What's the deal? You know, spinny wheels? How does this happen? Well, you can go for the grand poobah dress, and it's this one over here, and it, you know, lights up, and it has horns on it and stuff. I don't know, but I guess you have a big... Listen, what sets its value is the fact that it is adorned in a certain way. As a Christian in heaven, we are going to stand before, the Bible says, the judgment seat of Christ, right? It has nothing to do with heaven or hell. It's only heaven. You're there. You're not going anywhere. And the Bible says we are going to be judged regarding our works for Christ. And we're going to receive rewards, or awards, I like to put it, for what we did in our bodies in this world for Christ. So imagine your gown that is given you is a gown of righteousness. Jesus purchased that for you at the cross. Are you with me? What you put on your gown is up to you now. You can't do anything with my gown. I can't do anything with your gown. It's your gown. If the church is a non-spectator entity and I'm supposed to be involved in life for God, then I came up with this little saying. And if it doesn't work, then I won't say it again. But I thought about this. The righteous acts of the saints. Wow, it was given to her, arrayed. She was granted. But everything, when you look at it, has to do with my life now that will affect things later. That's a serious thought. How you're living now will affect later. That I wrote this down to me. What I'll be wearing is what I've been preparing. Oh, what are you going to be wearing up there? I don't know. The judgment seat of Christ is going to, you know, make it very clear. But whatever I'm wearing up there, it's what I've been preparing for down here. Think of it. This is for all of us. Are we a Christian in word only? Then you're going to be walking around in heaven with a Speedo, I guess. I don't know. I mean, that's a horrible picture after all. Not much. Look, I'll be honest with you. I want this church, you guys, and you. So many times we say, you know what, sign up and become and help out, and VBS is coming, we need your help, children's ministry, parking lot ministry, ushers, we need more ushers. And I know some of you would just, oh, he just wants us to do stuff. No, I don't. I honestly want you to be the best dressed person in heaven. I mean this with all my heart. I want heaven to go, man, look at those people from Chino Hills. Holy cow, what's that all about? Oh, you know what? Rumor has it that they were a non-spectator church. Rumor has it they got involved. They got a hold of Tom Jordan, and they went down to the Jordan Mission in Los Angeles and fed the homeless. You know what? They got involved in the Women's Care Center, and they reached out to the pregnancy center, and they wound up saving babies' lives by giving potential young moms an option, a choice. They made a difference. And you know what? Stitch a pearl on that gown. We've got our whole lives to do this. No wonder why the Bible says, redeem the time, for the days are evil. In the midst of an evil time, we get to shine the light. We get to be brilliant, illuminated, as it were, by the Lord in this dark world. Listen, the great thing about everything going nuts is the fact that we get to shine the brighter. Think about it. It's true. We stand for Him. We don't speak for ourselves. We speak for Him. What an amazing honor. But I got to tell you, I remember years ago, and this sounds corny, but whatever we do for the Lord is what's going to adorn our gown, as it were, our wedding gown in heaven with Him. And when I first got saved, I remember Lisa and I had gotten married, and we moved across the street from Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, on Saturday mornings, because we didn't know what else to do, but we wanted to do something. God was just being so good to us that we would get up on Saturday mornings, and we would go to the church parking lot, and we would weed the garden at the church because it was cool. It was fun. And the neat thing about that is you're thinking about God, and it's like, man, the Lord is amazing. Thinking about Adam pulling weeds. What was it like before he had to pull weeds? What's heaven going to be like? And you start doing something. And listen, I'm not saying anything foreign to you. You've all done that same thing. It's like whatever it is. And why are you doing this? You're doing it for the Lord. And you don't want any acknowledgement for it. You're just doing it for Jesus. It's what Jesus would do. It's like, oh, this is great. You and I are going to stand before God someday, and there's going to be, as we'll see in our next study, God is going to reward us. Doesn't that sound bizarro? I mean, have you read your Bible? Have you read that? Where we're going to receive rewards from the Lord. It's like, I don't want any rewards. When you first read that, it's like, I don't want any rewards. I'm just going to be happy to be there. Rewards. But we misunderstand that by living for him, it makes an impact for his name now. And he will bestow a blessing, a reward, on the day of judgment. And then the Bible tells us that the 24 elders, by the way, who represent the church in heaven, what do we see them doing? They cast their crowns that they've been given as a reward. They cast their crowns before the feet of Jesus. Everything is given back to him. So listen, don't prejudge this invitation to be very, very active now and get ready to meet the Lord so that it's absolutely awesome then for this reason. It's not about you. It won't be about me. You're going to get to show up, I hope, from this church really looking good, right, all decked out, and you're going to be able to pull up and dump a dump truck full of blessings that go to the feet of Jesus to honor him because you lived for him in life. It has nothing to do with you getting a reward walking around heaven going, oh, man, look at my crown. Whoa, look at that baby. Yikes, that's my crown. No, you are going to cast it back at him. That there's this dress code, and the sobering thought is the fact that you and I, by following him in faithfulness and doing righteously, we adorn that dress. We have that opportunity. The Bible tells us in another place, and we'll cover it some other time, but Jesus says, you know, there's the man of the kingdom, and he sent out an invitation to everybody to come and have a great feast at his house. And people began to come. People were responding to come. And Jesus says there was a man who came in there, but he did not have the proper clothing on in heaven. Jesus tells this parable.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio. In a lesson called You Need to Know All About the Future Things. It's one part of our series that focuses on what God's written word says about eschatology. And specifically, we're focusing in on Revelation chapter 4, where the Apostle John's recorded visions begin. You Need to Know All About the Future Things is taken from Pastor Jack's collection of studies called You Need to Know. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, by the way, this series of messages is available for purchase on a 4-DVD set. It goes by the same title, You Need to Know All About the Future Things. We at Real Radio trust you've been enjoying and learning from this series. I'm sure you have. Eschatology is such an important topic because it speaks of the hope that every believer really truly has. In fact, think of it this way. No matter who gets elected president, Jesus is still king and he will reign on planet Earth at the end of the age. So you can purchase You Need to Know All About the Future Things on DVD. There are 4 DVDs, and they contain all 8 parts of this series. To purchase You Need to Know All About the Future Things on DVD, visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.